He sets us free from those binding influences, and He introduces us into the sphere of the eternal. He gives us some roots in eternity.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
We proceed in this series on the thesis that Jesus Christ is absolutely sufficient to meet every one of our needs. And the fourth credential supplied by Isaiah in Isaiah 9 and verse 6, which substantiates that thesis, is this credential: His name shall be called the Everlasting Father. Now, that's a peculiar expression. Until we understand the Jewish mentality, in a Jewish culture, in the Jewish mind, the term Father always carried with it, at least in symbolic form, in principled form, it always carried with it the idea of originator of something, the originator of something, the progenitor of something, or the author of something. It could be used in a metaphorical as well as in a literal or a physical sense. He was the first, the originator, the author. So Jesus Christ in Isaiah 9 and verse 6 is the Everlasting Father. If you were to translate that quite literally, the Hebrew is the Avi Av, the Father of Eternity, would be a literal rendering of that phrase. He is the Father of Eternity. The Avi, the Father of Av, Eternity. Jesus Christ is the originator. He is the author or the progenitor of all that is eternal and everlasting in your life and in mine. He is the Father of Eternity. And He spawns, He fathers, He originates, He authors an eternal dimension in the life of each one of us. Only Jesus Christ can do that. He lifts us above the level of the temporal. He sets us free from the binding influences of time, the weapons of time against us. He sets us free from those binding influences, and He introduces us into the sphere of the eternal. He gives us some roots in eternity. We must be certain. There must be no question about this. We must be settled and certain that we have come to experience this new dimension of the eternal in our lives through the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of Eternity. And I think that there are two, as I look at it, there are two significant aspects of this facet of Christ's character. He's the Father of Eternity that need to be analyzed. And I see them right here in this expression. He is the Everlasting Father, or the Father of Eternity. Two facets of that aspect of His character that need to be analyzed. First of all, I want to look at His paternal qualities. He's a father. Paternal. And then at the end, I want to look at His eternal qualities and see how the eternity of the Lord Jesus Christ can be experienced in my own life. There are four steps in it. First, His paternal qualities, and then His eternal qualities. What does it mean that Jesus Christ is the Everlasting Father? In the biblical model, what does it mean to be a father? I think that there are five terms, if they're properly understood, that will help us to discern the significance of this imagery of the Lord Jesus Christ as our Father. In the biblical model, it means something very significant to be a father. And I believe there are five terms that will express or answer that question. What does it mean for Him to be our Father? The first term, which explains what it means to be a father in terms of the biblical model, is that term patriarch. In the patriarchal system of the ancient world, the father had supreme rights. He was a patriarch, a significant personality, a prominent personality in the truest sense of the term. The family in the ancient world was viewed as a little kingdom within itself, over which the father, the patriarch, was to rule. And he ruled, even to the right of life and death of the children, the grandchildren, and the servants. Isaac understood that principle. That's why he willingly laid down his life in Genesis 22 before his father. He understood the principle of patriarchal authority. The father had the right even of execution within the family. You and I are members judicially of a kingdom. We are a kingdom of priests, the Bible says. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. And Jesus Christ is the supreme authority in the kingdom. It is our proud privilege and it is our awesome responsibility to reverence him and to obey him. He is the father. He is the patriarch, the spiritual patriarch in this spiritual kingdom, this kingdom of priests, which will become a literal kingdom when our Lord Jesus Christ returns to earth. The second term which explains the model of fatherhood in the Bible is the word priest. The emphasis there is on spirituality. Before the institution of the Levitical priesthood in the Old Testament patriarch was also the priest of his family. Before the institution of the Levitical priesthood in the days of Moses, the Old Testament patriarch was also the priest of his family. He assumed full responsibility for the spiritual development of his wife and his children. He offered, in that ancient economy before the institution of the Levitical priesthood, he offered the appropriate sacrifices, assumed full responsibility for spiritual development, offered the appropriate sacrifices, and interceded for his family. So Jesus Christ is our great high priest. Jesus Christ, the Father of eternity, the one who spawns the eternal dimension in our lives. And then he is our provider. The emphasis there is on sufficiency. The Hebrew word for father, by the way, is av, A-B. It would be in English letters. It's pronounced av. And it means at rock bottom, the one who nourishes or the one who provides. That's what it means. The Hebrew word means to nourish or to provide. One of the great tasks of the father in the home is to provide materially and spiritually for his wife and for his children. He's to nourish them, and he's to cherish them, and he's to provide for them. So Jesus Christ is the provider. He is the nourisher for all of those who have placed their faith in him. He is the vine and we are the branches. He is the head and we are the body. He is the shepherd and we are the sheep. He nourishes, he provides for, he meets our needs. You know, it should be no wonder to us, we who are Christians, that the godless man involves himself in reckless abandon to get ahead. Do you know why he has to do that? He has no father. He has no nourisher. He has no heavenly father. He has no provider. He is, in a word, a spiritual orphan. No one to meet his needs. But that's not true of Christians. Jesus Christ meets all of our needs. We don't have to abandon ourselves to reckless, insensitive activity. We can trust our God. He knows that we have needs, and he has the power to meet them. It's the function of a father. He's the father of eternity, patriarch, priest, and provider. And then, number four, he's a protector. That's always the function of a father. A father is to protect his wife and his children. Every father has a moral obligation to protect his family from the evils around them and the dangers that can invade their lives. Abraham, you'll remember, rescued Lot from pagan kings who had taken him captive, Genesis 14. Joseph, the Bible says, chapter 45 and verse 8 of Genesis, Joseph became a father to Pharaoh in the sense that he became responsible for Pharaoh's welfare and his safety. He took care of him. So Jesus Christ is the one who delivers us from ultimate peril. When we place our faith in him, he saves us from sin's penalty. He delivers us from Gehenna, from hell. He saves us from ultimate peril. He protects us. And daily he saves us from the common perils of sin and of Satan, because greater is he that is in you and in me than he that is in the world. He is our protector. He provides for us safety. There's a final word that governs the function of a being as a father, and which gives us insight into the character of our Lord Jesus Christ as the Father of eternity. And that word is passion or love. The biblical model requires that a father be sensitive to the needs of his children and his wife. And it requires that all that he does in fulfilling his responsibility as a father, he is a patriarch, he is a priest, he is a provider, he is a protector. It requires that all that he does in fulfilling those responsibilities, all that he does is to be done in a context and in an atmosphere of love. Very clearly taught in the Bible. Too many fathers, I find it all the time in the Christian world, and I'm puzzled by it. Too many fathers put the accent on authority and they forget sensitivity. They like the term patriarch, supremacy. They don't like so much the term passion, sensitivity, love and concern and compassion for those under their authority. They put the accent on authority and forget the concept of sensitivity, with a tragic result that instead of building up their wife and their children, they tear them down. They don't use God-given authority, they abuse it. You know, the Bible teaches us that God gives authority for a very specific reason. We're told in two verses in the New Testament why God gives authority. 2 Corinthians 10:8 and 2 Corinthians 13:10. God gives authority not for destruction, but for edification. You know what that means literally? Not for tearing down, but for building up. That's why God gives authority. We're told that we're to use God-given authority wisely according to the principles of Scripture in an atmosphere and a context of compassion and love in order that we might build up those under our jurisdiction and not tear them down. So we're taught, as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Psalm 103, verse 13. Our God is a loving God. He's a compassionate God. He's a patient God. Unlike the hireling, we're taught in John 10, unlike the hireling who flees when danger comes and leaves the sheep alone, unlike the hireling, Jesus Christ cares for the sheep. He loves them. And he willingly lays down his life for them in the most excruciating form of death, even the death of a cross. He loves us and is sensitive to our needs. Jesus Christ has certain paternal qualities. He is our great patriarch. He is our great high priest. He is the one who provides for our well-being in all areas of our lives. He is the one who protects us from ultimate peril when he delivers us from hell and from the common perils of everyday life as he delivers us progressively from sin's power and influence over our life. And he does all of this in a context of love, passion. One of those words that describes the function of a father. Jesus Christ is the Father of eternity. He has, according to that expression, paternal qualities, and he has eternal qualities. His paternal qualities are these. He is our patriarch, supreme authority. He is our priest, responsible for our spiritual well-being. He is our provider, sufficiently meeting all of our needs day by day. He is our protector, providing for us safety from ultimate and common peril. Day by day. And everything that he does for us and to us, he does in a context of passion or of love. Something for every one of us who are fathers to learn from that example. He's the Father. He's the Father of eternity.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
Eternity invaded time when Jesus Christ invaded our planet. In Christ, eternity entered time concretely.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.